This podcast is brought to you by Equus Grooming Products, human-grade cosmetic ingredients.
Wow. So, Joey, I could use these products on myself?
You absolutely can. And you know what? It's easy rinsing. It lathers up real good. It's just clean, clean product.
Hook me up. Welcome to another episode of Doc Halligan Unleashed with Joey Villani. And we have a very special guest, Lori Allen, who's best known for her voiceover and animal activist. Welcome to our podcast, Lori.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's been so fun to see you guys on Instagram and see the show come together. It's so great.
Yes, it's a long time in coming, huh, Joey?
Yeah, it's 15 years and counting. It's been a long time. We've done a lot of things together, but you know what? This is materializing and it feels really good. And we're happy to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I do a lot of voice work. I'm most known for SpongeBob and Family Guy and all the Pixar movies and all that kind of stuff. And on camera too, and theater. And it just feels good to be able to use your voice for good. Use your voice for the voiceless. You know, I feel like, what else are we here for on this earth, but to do something for even the blip that we're here to try to make something a little better, you know?
Yes.
You think you could squeeze my voice into something? You know, they tell me I have an accent. I don't hear it, though.
I don't understand. You know? I'm from the East Coast, too. Joey, how you doing? I'm from Maryland, D.C. area with folks and step folks from Philly and Jersey and all that stuff. So, yeah, I get it.
There you go.
And plus, I'm going to probably have your voice in my head now for like a year, for at least the rest of the night.
Well, Lori, tell us, how did you get into animal activism?
As I said, I grew up outside of D.C. area in Maryland, and my mom rescued, our neighbor had a bunch of puppies, and I don't think they meant to, you know, so that I was so glad looking back on it that they didn't, you know, do the whole puppy mill thing. And so my mom was like, I'm going to make sure that everyone in the neighborhood has a dog. And so our whole neighborhood had like this family of this one mama doggy, and it was just so great. And she just always taught me to like make sure to pick up dogs on the street. And I'd always end up looking at their tags and taking them, you know, to back to their owners as a kid. And we always had dogs. I grew up with like big dogs like Mastiffs and St. Bernards and all that good stuff. And then always rescued dogs off the street. Once I remember going to Spain when I was 30 to visit my stepsister, and I was like crying the entire time when I went to a little island off Madrid, because you know they're not domesticated pets, and I was like, I have to leave here. I have to either try to help and start a, you know, rescue place. I mean, it just, you know, it's always just been in there. And then I think full-fledged sort of activism came out of something really bad, which is, you know, you heal through doing service. I went through a really bad breakup, and my friend was like, her day job was working for the Humane Society and trying to stop the seal clubbing campaign. My dear friend Fia Pereira, who's an amazing activist who you guys would love and should talk to, and she was like, why don't you help me put on this protest about the dog meat trade? And I said, the what? And I didn't even know that existed. I didn't realize that in a lot of Asian countries, here in the United States and Hawaii, like we have it, it's legal in like, I don't know, 40 something. I forgot the statistics now, to eat your pet, to consume your pet. And I thought, oh, dear God. So we put on a protest. There was a UK charity at the time, and we were the sort of US charity of the sister charity. And we put on a big protest, and it was really interesting because it opened my eyes immediately to a bunch of friends, a bunch of fellow activists that I would never have known. And it opened my eyes to the factory farming situation that happens to all animals. And I was like, this one lovely gal said, you know, if you're going to do something that has to do with animals, you might want to, you know, take a look at a couple of videos. And, you know, you look at a couple of, I mean, now we have Game Changers and a couple of amazing movies that everybody can watch. But the minute I saw how factory farmed animals are treated and what it does to our environment, what we have left of it and everything, I was like, okay, I don't need to eat animals anymore. You know, it was a simple, easy shift. I can't believe it was that easy. So, yeah.
Laura, can I interrupt you a second? Because you said something that kind of shocked me. I just want to... So in the United States, pets can be consumed as food?
Yeah, I think it's like in 44 states.
Wow.
So we passed a lot of legislation. There's Judy Mancuso of Social Compassionate Legislation. I feel like, Karen, you might know her. They have worked so hard up in Sacramento to pass, you know, I mean, we really set the tone here in California. I'm proud to be part of, you know, a small smidgen of a part of the men and women who really work so hard to, you know, because we don't have fur here in Los Angeles or San Francisco and West Hollywood. Now it's the entire state of California. And I could go on and on and on and on about that particular, you know, that kind of the skinning of those sweet animals is so unnecessary. But yes, so there's in the United States, in terms of the dog meat trade, you know, folks believe in certain cultures or whatnot, that the more the animal has been tortured and abused, the sweeter the meat will be, or the more cooling properties it will have in the hot days. Like in Korea, there's something called the Bacchanal Festival. It's certainly not a festival, or the Yulin Dog Festival in China, which so there have. And if you think about it, in these wet markets, that's where all these pandemics are happening. So we're all end up going to have to be vegetarian, vegan shortly anyway. You know, as I put my earthquake kit together and got a lot of canned foods, I was like, oh, look at that. It's canned green beans and fruit and beans. I'm like, trail mix, you know, so may as well start eating healthy now, because that's what we got to do to keep ourselves, you know, going.
We actually, Lori, I'm on Judy Mancuso's board.
Yes. Oh, yes, you are. Yeah, she is amazing. I love Judy. She is, I don't know how she does it. She is so tenacious and so smart, and I'm so grateful for all the work she does.
Yeah, she opens people's eyes to what's going on. And
passing legislation.
Yes.
Legislation. She has recently just done, so like I said, you know, the fur ban and just, you know, so many things so that other people can then, because I feel like people get like, well, what can I do? What can I do? You can follow folks like you can follow you. You can on social media. People don't want to see it. They don't want to know about, you know, any kind of animal abuse or whatnot. And it's so easy to, you know, send an email, click this thing, sign a petition. There are things, because that's what works, is calling your representatives and signing those petitions and calling the offices. And they go, oh, my gosh. OK, great. We got it.
Yeah.
You know, and attending fundraisers. And it's like if you can donate $1, $5, there's no amount too small to be able to help organizations and folks like Judy to be able to continue to do the amazing work she does.
Yes. And it's great to have celebrities like yourself to bring awareness, because the celebrity really holds a lot of weight. And your voice, tell me about your voiceover. How was that something that you just knew you were going to do, or did you just kind of fall into that?
My parents, my wonderful parents, are voice actors. They actually were in theater school in the late 60s. My mom's going to be like, thanks a lot for saying how old I am or you are. No, she's wonderful and hilarious and funny, and so is my dad. But they went to American University, and they were theater majors with radio minors. And that was so cool at that time, you know. And then they both went off to Arena Stage and did acting. And then my dad went into advertising and wrote jingles and commercials. And he would stick me and my sister in the commercials and on camera. And then voice-wise, I think my first voiceover spot was for Archway cookies, and my dad was like, just say ba ba ba, and I was like, oh, I know what to say about the cookies. I was like, these are delicious, or whatever it was. And then from there on out, that was it. You know, I did a lot of commercials and theater coming up. And so I think if I'd come home and said, Mom, Dad, I want to be a lawyer doctor, they would have been like, what? That's ridiculous. You need tap dancing, you know, juggling as a backup. Absolutely not acceptable, you know?
That's great.
So, yeah. Family business. My sister's a DJ. My brother's a musician. So my dad writes musicals. It's crazy. We're like a circus family.
That's great. That's great. Do you have pets at home?
I have two babies. I am, like I said, I grew up with big dogs. My sweet boys passed away a couple of years ago, Harry and Frankie, and they were big 85-pound Newfie Chow mix. And Frankie was a Shepherd Husky mix. And they both died during the same time of this breakup, and both parents were diagnosed with cancer. I mean, it was just the most horrendous time. And I remember getting gas one day. I'd been driving around without any gas, and I was like, oh, crap. And I looked down because I was going through this bad breakup, and I wasn't concentrating. And I had like an interview with CNN for Pixar. Toy Story was coming out, I think, or Inside Out at the time. And I saw this cute little like purebred Bichon who's just wagging his tail. He's like, hi, how are you? He was like the maitre d' at a cocktail party. And he came up to me. I was like, I saw his feet were black and he had no hair from his, you know, he had like a yeast skin condition from his chin down all the way through his groin. And I was like, son of a bitch, I have to be on camera in like 10 minutes. I'm 40 minutes away from home. Of course, I'll take the dog and put him in my car. Because I was like, is this anybody's dog? And the woman was on the phone at the other pump getting gas, calling animal services. I'm like, no, 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 no. So I took him. I called my old vet. I said, I'm coming up Coinga Boulevard. We're going to do a handoff. I know it's not mange or scabies or ringworm. He's got a yeast skin condition. I'll call you tomorrow morning. And I explained it to her. And then through Barking Bitches, I rescued another doggy, thinking it would give this little separation anxiety, Bumble, the dog I just described to you, company. And they both have separation anxiety. So they're both attached to me, not to each other. So we're very codependent in this household. So, yes, I've got two boys again. I've got two little boys again. It's interesting.
Wow.
Have smaller dogs.
So yeah. You all need each other. That's the whole thing.
So that's so true.
Well, it's the truth. It makes one big family.
You know, it's funny you should say that. I was reading this article, especially now, about, and I just did yoga where I just started bawling, you know, where she was having you like sort of, you know, literally like give yourself a hug and say, I love you. And I was just like, especially now, this is not a good time to be single. And I was reading this article to like, if you have a child, canine, feline, human, and put it on your chest from like, you know, whole. So I literally, as I was in Shavasana, you know, at the end of yoga, when you're like, you know, crying or going to fall asleep or relaxed or all the above. And I put one of the dogs, I don't even know which one, on my chest and I just started bawling. I just started rocking and it was, and then I was like, oh, I feel so great. I just need to get a big cup of glass of water and jump on the call with you. It was just so cathartic to, you know, to hold him like that.
Yep.
And they're my everything.
The shelters in LA are closed, okay? Ugh. Two of them. And so what's been happening is everyone's just been using social media to reunite or to help find a home. And I think the whole sheltering is going to change because of COVID.
I do too. And it's just terrifying because if you think about all the, you know, we think, oh, in California, the weather's beautiful 24/7. It's like, no, it's not. We're in a horrible heat wave. You know, and I think about how they're outside.
Yep.
And, you know, there's so many of the shelters obviously have outdoor, indoor, especially here. And I can't tell how many times I've gone to go give ice to the animals. I've hosed them down in this and or given them blankets in the winter and with different, you know, organizations. And working with them doing that. But you're right, they're closed. And so I have a great success story. My dear friend Tom Keesh does a lot. He's a big guy with a big, deep voice. And I think he goes to North Valley Shelter and he walks and really socializes with all the pit bulls and, you know, the Rhodesian Ridgebacks, all those guys, so that they're more adoptable because, you know, it's the worst place for them to be. Of course, they're scared. They're terrified. Who would want to be in that situation? So then they feel like they're not adoptable when folks, you know, come in to see. So he posted a couple of really great, like, you know, freedom rides. And I'm so proud of my friend. I said, I wish I had more time to do that, but I'm going to make it a point when, as soon as we're able. And post social media, you just never know. You never know.
No. And Joey, what are the shelters like in New Jersey? Are they overrun too?
They're not too bad. Prior to COVID, they were probably running at about 60%, which is actually not bad from what it was a couple of years ago. You know, there was no room at all, especially for cats. And right now, the rescues are they're really standing up to the plate big time. You know, they're making sure that, you know, no pet, it goes out on the street and, you know, and really opening up homes, asking people to help out and doing everything that they can because, I own the World Dog Expo and a big portion that we donate boot space to all these, these rescues. So I hear from them all the time because they're always, you know, calling you can you help us?
Great.
Can you help us? Can you help us? And they've stepped up to the plate big time.
The weather's different in New Jersey. I mean, do you think that affects the cat population versus like California where it just, you know, the animals can survive all year long in California? Can they survive in New Jersey?
They do, but cats, you know what? You see sick cats in the winter. You do.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll say one thing, you know, going now, listen, I'm dating myself because I'm 55 years old. But when I was a kid, we seen strays.
Right.
We don't see strays anymore. You do not see them. I don't know if it's because of the spaying and neutering, which is helping now conscientious pet owners, or if people just, you know, realize, you know, this is a living, breathing, you know, creature.
That's fantastic to hear that about. I you know, I'm such an East Coast girl, even though I've been out here 25 years or so. But, you know, we still have a problem with our population here. And the shelter system, I feel like, is really not in a great place. And so we have so much work to do.
You're right. But, and so here's the thing is, I'm ready to spay and neuter. As soon as it gets safer.
Yes, you go, girl.
What happens, Lori, is that when we drive the Lucy Pet Foundation bus somewhere, we get inundated.
Oh,
people
my
just
God.
Come hundreds in the day, probably 600. And so we can't manage that with COVID. So that's why we're laying low until there's, you know.
There's not such another spike, yeah.
Yes, because it just, well, one bus tried to go out and they shut them down. When I was driving the holding van, which is marked as Lucy Pet, and I went to do, and somebody was like, when are you guys going out? I mean, people are desperate right now because the veterinarians are not spaying and neutering because it's not deemed an essential surgery. Yeah. So that's really been a problem.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I didn't know that. That's not good.
Karen, who makes that decision? What's essential and what's not? I mean, where does that decision come from? Because obviously it's very essential. There's, you know, there's a population explosion with pets. Come on.
Well, and as a vet, I would agree, but it comes from the state board. And they put up a mandate that said that spaying and neutering isn't considered essential. So we were not supposed to be doing it. And you know,
like really, truly, in all of like Southern California, Los Angeles, like we don't.
Yeah, in California, yeah, and New York. I think it was the same thing in New York. Everyone was dumbfounded.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
And the shelters were just giving them the animals because they are not spaying and neutering. So yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it's gonna be a problem, I guess, when we are able to go back again. You know, and
please let me know. I have a bunch of guys and gals ready to help you at a moment's notice. I know you have such a large community and a fan base of people to help you, but I'm always here to help you do that. And it's just unconscionable to think that you can't get your pet spayed or neutered right now.
Some vets have closed down. The emergency clinics, it's getting so bad. Yesterday, I always have people calling, and some lady called, and it was a dog that couldn't get up, and I couldn't see it. 4 o'clock, I'm discharging all my patients. I was like, so she called a hospital, and they said to her, if your dog's dying, we can see it. Otherwise, we can't see it. And she called back, and she was very upset that an emergency hospital would say those words. So we found another one. She had to drive, but can you imagine?
No, I cannot.
This is where we cannot come.
And I have a friend of mine who has a very sick kitty. I also, let me know if I can give a shout out for my wonderful vet who I absolutely adore. And they
absolutely are. Absolutely. Give your shout out to
the pet
vet.
The pet doctors of Sherman Oaks. It used to be Santo Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Santo.
I know. I worked for Dr. Santo.
And they are wonderful. And they're a little bit further away from me. You know how you first move here? I'm like, I don't know who even referred me and my boys, the big boys, may they rest in peace, to them. But they are phenomenal. And they were the first ones to implement, nope, you stand outside, you know, and we'll come get you. And you can pay over the phone. And, you know, you talk to the vet over the phone. They don't take, and there's no humans in there. I think maybe if, you know, they have to cross over, perhaps. Otherwise, they are running, they are taking emergencies. They're open 7 days a week. They're incredible. I highly recommend folks to go to the Pet Doctors of Sherman Oaks, right off the Woodman exit at 101 here in California, here in LA.
Yeah, he's a great vet.
Yeah, very thorough.
Oh, yeah. No, there's, you just have to call around, you know, and it's sad is that a lot of people, you got to do prevention. And that's one of the reasons we're doing this podcast, Lori. Joey and I, we see so much, you know, and we thought, gosh, we really want to help people save money on their vet bills, their grooming bills, give them tips and teach them like prevention so they don't get stuck.
Right, just little things like you'll Well, I'd love to know what you guys think about this. So being in the Hollywood Hills, I get all kind of fun critters. Like, look at the Ring app. I'm like, oh, my God, there's a bobcat in the backyard, you know. And this new little Schipperke Finn, who's like, you know, the other little bumble boy, just sort of goes, I'm the very attractive, fluffy one. You can go do the dirty work. And he was running up to the corner of my patio. And sure enough, cut to, there was a mama raccoon and babies. And I was like, oh, my God, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have known, right? So all this, long story short, they gave this guy, not animal services, but lovely guy. And he's like, by the way, if I do get them, I take them and I never euthanize them. I let them all go in Griffith Park. And I was like, I love you, a man after my own heart. Are you single? No. Okay, shoot. So he said, well, I can't take the boards off of your patio because I don't have like my work partner here with the gloves and the cage anyway. And he said, but do you see the babies? And I looked through and I just started crying. I'm like, do all animal people just start sobbing? He's like, yeah, they're either grossed out or they just burst into tears. I'm like, well, that would be me. So he put, I don't know what it was, but what it was on, but he put male raccoon pheromones on this thing and stuck it through the hole for rainwater to escape through the patio. Like a little, you know, little hole there. And he said, she'll be gone by tonight. It's the most humane way. And so, of course, at like 9:30, I hear the sounds of raccoons mating, or when the mom, one of the babies is maybe in duress, sounds like absolute torture of human beings and animals combined. My neighbor, everyone was like, what is that? And so I called a guy. And so from someone I wanted to marry earlier that morning, and I said, I'm sorry, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm so sorry. Do you have any idea what might have happened? He's like, I don't know. Have a good night. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? So cut to, I think one of the babies must have been in duress. And that's maybe she was, you know, couldn't get over the fence or get out, way they went. And got the handyman to take care of the spot where all the critters could get in. Cut to 3 weeks later, boom, fleas inside. And I'm like, I'm the most OCD clean person. And the Wonder Side, which is actually really great, all the all-natural peppermint oils and the stuff that the fleas don't like. But I ended up calling Flea Busters, and they were super nice because they used boric acid. And so they used that, and it really did the trick. And he said, don't be surprised if in, 2 weeks or so you see a little reemergence. But I was going to just ask you, what is the best way for just the simple summertime stuff? And in terms of heat exhaustion, my friend went on a hike today with her dog who couldn't even get back. I'm like, why did you take her out in this weather? Yes. And she said she doesn't, bless her heart, and she said she doesn't normally want to walk this much, but today she did. And then she's a big dog. So I said, just keep her cool. I said, ask any person walking by, you're in Santa Monica, ask anybody for ice, water to go get you, she'll be fine. She wasn't overheating, thank God. Her breathing wasn't labored, but.
That's a scary, if anyone has never seen a dog in heat exhaustion. It is scary. It's something that I've seen a few times in my lifetime. If I never see it again, I would be very happy. We had a dog come into an expo, regular pet expo, and it was a bulldog, and it was about 98 degrees, 100% humidity, New Jersey. And when the dog came in, I immediately told him, you need to take that dog into the bathroom and get water on it immediately. Unfortunately, that dog did not live. And
I was there, Joey. Okay, that's right.
That dog didn't live. And I think a lot of people just don't realize especially those flat-faced brachycephalic dogs, they can't breathe. And, they go into cardiac arrest. And
I remember I was there. The veterinarian was trying to get a catheter in. We do believe that dog had an underlying heart problem that it wasn't detected. And so gets a little overheated, and that's that. That's why it's so important to go into the vet yearly exam.
I do it all the time. And pet insurance, all have different. People laughed at me because I think the first pet insurance, right? You might know this. Dr. Karen was like VPI, veterinary pet insurance. And that was the first one. And everyone thought I was crazy. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like it came in handy. I remember I was having a party and I was saying goodnight to some people I'm very good about being at the door so they don't get out. But my two big boys at my old house, they saw a coyote and literally within 2 seconds, they were off and down this hill. And I was like, oh my God, cut to my ex and I got them. They had like all four pads. So it was 8 feet, were just shredded open from running that fast on asphalt and I think climbing over somebody's garage to get to a coyote that they saw.
Yes.
And then, you know, that vet bill was, it was something like, it had to have been like almost $4,000. And so pet insurance is for that reason, reason only. I mean, you just never know when there's going to be an accident. It's worth every penny. And I know it's hard for people to afford. It is, but it's there are children.
Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Why would you use something on your pet that you wouldn't use on yourself? This was the philosophy of Equus Grooming Products in 1991 and still is today. We love our pets. They are members of our family. Don't use grooming products that either don't disclose their ingredients or are not honest about what's in them. Equus Grooming Products are the finest quality available. Human-grade cosmetic ingredients and food-grade ingredients, not industrial-grade, and backed 100% by a money-back guarantee. Visit Equus.com and enter Doc H at checkout for a 15% discount. That's Equus.com. We had a Karen Terrier that overnight and a mass cell tumor came on the front leg. And the Karen Terriers and the first veterinarian and a veterinarian who I trusted really gave me no alternatives that we're going to have to take the leg. And I wouldn't accept that. So I called up Karen and she said, you know, she says, I have a place in Manhattan. It's great. Why don't you go see? And they were, and they said, listen, the last thing that we're going to do is do that. We're not saying that, you know, we may not have to, but let's do this. And the, after everything was all said and done, it was $13,000, which, you know, listen, we didn't have kids. My ex, that was our baby. So we immediately got pet insurance after that. And I'm trying to think what else Buster ended up having, but Buster ended up having to have another surgery, which was $8,000, which the pet insurance paid $4,200 towards that.
Because a lot of times people don't have the other, you'll have the other option is euthanization. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, I can't afford an extra, you know, especially as the pets get older, their premium goes up just like with us, you know, us humans. But I feel like if people found some way to have a payment plan that could work for them, I can't stress it enough. Like the new guy, Finn, the Skipper Key, who's very much on alert. Thank you. Found that raccoon. Because I was like, what the hell are you barking at? Anyway, when I took him in, and also I feel like when people first get their rescue dog, take the dog to the vet, get a fur, because you don't know what's going on with them. You don't know where they've been. My guys were both street rescues on the street. And he had that, you would know, Dr. Karen had like his patella, like when after
luxating patella.
Yeah, so of course he gets very dramatic. He looks, patella, you know, the vet said, so when he goes pee or poop, does he like kick his legs behind him? And I said, yeah, it's kind of what I do with my bad hip. I kind of just go and just kind of put it back in to place. So, but I now I know that. Now I know that that's why he's in a very funny position when he goes, but also why he'll have a skip to his step and that I need to watch that.
Yes.
So like, you know, little things like that. And now like when we're watching TV, I just always rub him. He's like, that's really nice. Thanks. You know, it feels really good.
But no, you're right. The pet insurance, I tell people, get a policy that's just for catastrophic.
Amen. Yes.
Okay. It's like $20 a month.
That's what I did with
that plan. Yeah. You don't have to get the big daddy one that costs you $75 a month. Just something for these
emergencies.
Unexpected
that's
things.
That's what they're for. Yeah.
Exactly. That happens because it's unfortunate when a client can't afford the treatment.
Right.
And they have to euthanize their animal.
I know. But you're absolutely right about the most basic plan. And as Harry and Frankie got older, then I did actually increase their senior whatever. But when my boy had degenerative myelopathy, and to go back to something that you were saying, Joey, a lovely vet who's become a dear friend at the time said, wow, you know, you have to think about quality of life, your job, your quality of life, his quality of life, because of the degenerative myelopathy, which is a spine nerve thing. He did start, I thought, he just has a UTI. Sure enough, bladder, all the other organs were affected and whatnot. But I was willing to put him in a brace to help him up because he ended up looking like a drunken sailor because he had, you know, lost nerve. Muscle mass and nerve wasn't talking to the legs. And so I'm sure people in my neighborhood thought I was insane, but I had him and that helped me up harness and then a cart. And he lived for another 6 months, which was I couldn't have asked for anything better. My vet at one point was like, are you really sure you want to do that? And I was like, to put him in a diaper at night and help him up with a brace? Yeah, I can do that. And I, you know, they always say that you'll know when you know. And he looked at me one day and was like, you know what? I think I'm going to cross over and go hang out with Frankie. And I was like, okay. And it's just so good to know what's going on with your pet and ask questions. I feel right when you come in, aren't you happy when a pet parent is like, okay.
Well, now what they're doing is great is they're coming in and with lists because we're not seeing the client.
Right,
so
right.
I have a list, but I wanted to mention that, Joey, that second opinion is so important.
Yes.
Because if Joey and I didn't have the relationship, you know, who knows, but you've got to get a second opinion when your vet's telling you something like amputating the leg. And if your vet is not wanting you to get a second opinion, you need to run.
And go to ask referrals for a vet. Say, who do you know, who ask a crazy fellow dog or cat or ferret friend, you know, and say, who do you see?
Second opinions are important. It's a part of medicine, and I always encourage it.
And we do it with us, you know?
Yes.
Like my dad was going to, they said, oh, you need a quadruple bite, but this was years ago. And then he said, can I talk to somebody else? And this young guy came in, he said, you need like two tiny little stents. You're so healthy. You're fine. And my dad is phenomenal. Walks miles a day, just doing great, you know? So.
Well, Buster was 4 and lived until he was 17.
Oh,
so
my God.
Think about
Oh, wow.
that. So think of the life. He was an abused rescue dog that was, I mean, very, very abused. We got him at 2, came, had the mast cell 2 years later at 4, and then lived until he was just about 17.
Wow. You know, and the mast cell never came back?
Never came back. You know, I mean, and it's funny because I think the Benadryl regimen they told us, because they said, you know, that keep him on that. And we did. And, you know, he lived a very happy, healthy, active life. He was, you know, your typical male Karen Terrier, you know, bonded with me. So.
I mean, that's such a great thing to talk about. Just basic catastrophic insurance, get a second opinion. And when you first rescue, you know, right now is such a great time to have a rescue. You know, you can, and hopefully you'll become a foster failure, you know, but it's so important. You know, we need that love and affection. And so do they. So it's a perfect time right now, you know?
Joey, you were a 3-time foster failure?
Yay, Joey.
Oh,
3 times. 3.
I love it.
Lori, how do we find you?
You come on over. I'm kidding. I wish. We can sit in the backyard 75,000 feet apart. You can find me on Instagram. I seem to have a lot of numbers. Lori Talk, because I talk a lot, talk for a living. Lori Talk 4. There's always numbers involved. On Twitter, Lori Allen 1. You can find me on my website. I have an activism page because I like to be involved with the folks of National Animal Rights Day. Was able to work with Moby and Joaquin Phoenix this year and the years prior to be able to really bring awareness. It was nice to finally get network news coverage on our march down Beverly Boulevard this year to have a, you know, basically a funeral for all the animals that are basically, you know, not being treated well. So,
Lori, we'll have to go out when we can go out, since you're single, so am I.
Yeah, girl,
and
let's do it.
When the bars are open again, I'd love to buy you a drink.
Well, thanks, girl.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I would love that. I have a really important question, really, really quick, if I may. The whole, like, passing COVID on to your animals. Can you talk about that for a quick second? Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Well, here's the good news, is that the chances of your pet getting COVID from you is very, very slim. Now, that being said, they're part of the family. If you are sick and you have symptoms of upper respiratory, even if it isn't COVID, you should not be up close and personal with your pets, because, you know, viruses can mutate and the unthinkable could happen. But so we're just telling people in general, no, we're not worried that you're going to pass it on. And I believe Joey will speak with grooming as well. But, you know, if you're sick, take the precautions you would with another family member.
Right, and would if you're out on a walk, obviously we stay away from our masks, but especially everyone's like, they're so cute. And I'm like, please don't pet them. I'm not weird. But I come in and I take the rest of the Purell. I know that's not good for them, of course. And I just kind of quickly just like wipe off the top of them if somebody pet them. I know that sounds awful.
Yeah. No,
it's
and
not
going to
affect their skin. You know, it doesn't make their skin. I'm not bathing them in Purell. No. Like what I do
but
for
you
myself.
Should social distance your pets from people and other pets right now.
You're right. I'm glad I asked. Yay.
We're all learning this. That's the whole thing. We're all learning. I mean, the veterinarians know, but you know, us as groomers and just, you know, the everyday pet owners, we're learning. You don't know how to handle it. It's strange.
And in the, I'll ask you one last quick question, Joey. So since the boys had the flea infestation, like I said, I was like, oh, what do you mean I have fleas? Because I'm so clean and so organized, you know, so OCD, and my house is clean, they're clean. But I did get them I didn't even get a flea bath. I got something to calm the skin down. Was that the right thing to do? And then I did it like 3 weeks later. And that seemed to be.
Did they have a problem, like a flea bite dermatitis?
I could just see Bumble because he's a Bichon. So I could just see his skin was pink. And they were itching, and I could tell they were just like miserable. It's from the vet. The doctor would know. I can't recall, but they.
You know what? To be honest with you, if there's no fleas on them, if there was no fleas on them, and you have to calm that skin down, that's the best thing to do. You know, relieve the itching. You'll have no problems.
Yeah, Benadryl for a couple nights, and then. As needed.
Yes, Benadryl is good to have. 1 milligram per pound. Yep. Most people don't give enough Benadryl. If you're going to do it.
1 milligram per pound?
Yeah. So how many milligrams would a 10-pound dog get?
10.
Oh, you're so smart. I say that sometimes on camera with newscasters, and they'll be like, we're not good at math. I'm like, wait a minute. What? 1 milligram per pound. 10-pound dog is. So, yes. So, you got to give a therapeutic dose. Don't be afraid to give the therapeutic dose.
No, and I have to, you know, they both have a separation anxiety. So, whatever they get for their, it's like a little, they get like a little bit of a doggy Prozac, but I've managed to like separate it, you know, or down the dosage. And I was like, no, let's give it to the Skipper Key who barks a lot. So, they're very, not that I over-medicate my dogs, but. As needed when they're.
That's right.
They pick up on our tension and stress. Hello.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah, and they can't have a cocktail.
No. Do yoga. Although my dog stands on my stomach when I'm trying to do sit-ups. I'm like, okay, I guess the extra weight is good. You know. It was very funny. What would we do without them?
We'd be lost.
That's right.
They make us better. Pets make us better people.
We are only as good as how we treat our animals. That's why I try not to eat them or just try to speak out for them because, we're so blessed. We're so blessed that we have domesticated and that we get to see them out in their natural setting makes me so happy, you know, and to stand up for them and do whatever we can.
Great. Oh, well, thank you so much. This has just been great. We have to have you back on.
I would love that.
I mean, we could have talked for hours. So yes, we will definitely have you back. We're very excited. We want everybody to share and listen to us and spread the word that this is the best podcast for pet advice ever.
Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Now Doc Halligan's Medical Minute.
Pets will eat many bizarre things. In fact, there's a condition in dogs and cats and children called pica, in which they ingest inappropriate non-food objects. Now, this can include fabric, sticks, stones, jewelry, eyeglasses, and hats. I personally have removed stone, scissors, Mickey Mouse hats, and shoulder pads from pets with this condition. Now, while it's normal for puppies and kittens to orally explore their environment, it's abnormal for them to actually eat these things. Pica can occur in young or adult animals, and it can lead to serious complications, such as a perforated or obstructed stomach and intestine, which can lead to, you guessed it, thousands of dollars in vet bills. Sometimes there's an underlying cause. Oftentimes we think it's a form of obsessive compulsive disorder that may be caused by boredom. In any case, if you see your pet eating non-food objects, you need to take them to the vet right away. Don't wait, because it could cause their life and thousands of dollars in vet bills. That's my medical minute.